Welcome to the Elevate the Edge podcast. I'm Maribel Lopez of Lopez Research, and I'm joined with my co-host Joe Peterson of Clarify 360. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. Elevate the Edge is published bi-weekly. The podcast focuses on helping companies understand what edge computing is, how the market will evolve, and what you need to know to build successful edge computing strategies. Show notes and subscription links can be found at elevatetheedge.com/episodes. We hope you'll enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Maribel Lopez, and I am joined here today with Eric Simone. He is the CEO and founder of ClearBlade. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here. Good to talk with you again, Maribel.
I've known Eric for a long time. We go back to the land when we did in-person events, which I guess wasn't that long ago, but we've done ours a long time ago, and we were trying to educate a bunch of IT buyers on trends. At that point, it was in IoT, and now we're talking a lot more about the edge. And of course, I'm always here with my fabulous co-host, Joe Peterson. How's it going, Joe?
It's going great. Hey, Maribel. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joe.
So let me jump in right away here, Eric. Edge itself is this really broad term, sort of like cloud. There's a number of different types of edge. Can you share for the listeners the main types of edge?
Sure. Look, edge, like you said, has become a very broad term. And it really all depends on your frame of reference, where you're coming from. One of the ways I like to break it down is kind of from edge device up. So I like to start with the edge device. So these are the sensors, the handhelds, the things, physical things that get deployed. Typically there's firmware on these devices. And from the edge device, then you get to what I call the edge gateway. That would be the next level. That's usually a piece of hardware that has processing power to run an operating system. So something that's IP connected, that'll run Linux or Windows, and can do a significant amount of work in a small footprint. And then from there, I go to edge. I like to separate hardware from software a little bit. I like to talk about edge software next. So you may have an operating system on that edge, but now is the actual application that runs on that edge, the thing that normalizes the data, the thing that processes the data. It could even do visualizations. Think of it as the full application that could run connected or disconnected from the cloud, run autonomously. We've got customers that do this today. Another one I like to call out, which is also software, is edge AI. I believe this is a huge growth area. It's where we're seeing a lot of innovation, where you're now running your artificial intelligence models at the edge, as opposed to running them in the cloud or remotely. So this is, you're going to hear more and more about this, because these models are much more valuable when you put them at the edge and run them in real time, again, either connected or disconnected, so you can operate remote machinery and make decisions autonomously. So again, two software layers there. And then the last is what I call edge cloud. And we saw this a number of years ago with the telcos and the cloud providers to start jumping on the edge bandwagon. And it's also really valuable, but to me, that's near cloud and reduces latency, but it's not on-prem edge. Instead of going all the way to the big cloud data center, you're going to micro data centers at the base of cell towers or in cities and so forth. And then you get to the hyperscalers past that, which is no longer edge or the data centers. So that's a simple kind of stratosphere. It's usually good with some graphics. I do this for a number of organizations where you try to make sense. And to me, they're the right buckets to be able to make sense on where you separate hardware vendors, software vendors, and different capabilities at the edge.
I actually really like the fact that you delineated the edges, because most of the conversations that Joe and I have with enterprise buyers, it's always when someone says the edge, what are you talking about? So you have to give them, you know, which aspect of the edge you as a technology vendor or as an industry analyst are talking about. So
That was a helpful framework. And to that, you know, one of the things that makes that interesting is that because we have so many edges, I think the edge is more widely used now than most people might realize. So from your perspective, what are some of the most interesting use cases you've come across recently in edge computing?
So, well, first, I'm glad that edge has become mainstream because not too many years ago, say 2014, 2015, I would say edge and I'd get a lot of question marks from the industry folks that say, we don't know why you need that. So my CTO and I years ago looked at each other, said, well, if we're wrong, we'll be doing something else in a number of years. So we're not. That's good. I'll tell you where we're seeing it here. Transportation. One of the first customers, actually the first one to really utilize Edge for us, was in transportation, and it's in the rail business. So we deploy Edge computing on railroad crossings across North America. And what this is allows the railways to do is monitor and do predictive maintenance on critical infrastructure for railway. And if you think about it, there's crossings all over America in places where there's no backhaul network. So edge computing is critical to be able to monitor these things. And without getting too technical, hop signals up and down the railway until you get to a backhaul cellular network or other network, and then stream that to the back office. That allows the railways now to know what's operational at any point in time, especially during disasters like a hurricane, so they can work with authorities, direct traffic, direct escape routes, all sorts of things. So that was a fascinating use case for me. Another one I'm seeing is in industrial products. So think of boilers and water heaters, both commercial and industrial, things that are running in your home or in a factory, and using edge compute to make sure that those are operational. Again, to notify personnel when something's not right or not going to be right, to notify maintenance personnel, and also to stream that data back to the vendor so they know how their equipment's being used, what features are being used, and how efficiently they're being used, so they can flow that back into product design and create better products. That's another big use case for us. The two others that I've seen recently that are growing very fast, water infrastructure. We've got a large water infrastructure deployment out in Brazil, believe it or not, where we're doing leak detection in a suburb of Rio de Janeiro to really optimize really how the pipes, make sure that things aren't leaking, make sure there's no water theft. And you're running these algorithms at the edge. And this is where you start getting into some of the AI. And last but not least, we're seeing big movement in oil and gas. So think about remote drilling. Again, common theme here. Remote drilling sites that don't have a lot of connectivity, but I still want to run edge compute and take all the data that may be coming off a drilling site to optimize the process of drilling for oil or natural gas, and use all that data locally as opposed to trying to ship that over a satellite network that's very constrained and very expensive. So these are four of the use cases that we're actively working on today with our customers.
But that's really cool. Let me go back to the railroad one for a minute, Eric, because I'm just curious. In terms of connectivity, are you seeing in that particular use case that there is a deployment of a global SIM so that the traffic can balance across multiple networks given the remoteness of the, you know, the end user?
So it's a combination of cellular and non-cellular networks. A lot of times they have two or three or four options, and it depends on the criticality of the message. So when you have equipment that could transmit a message over cell or over landline or over satellite, sometimes it depends on what the severity level is of that message, and having software that can say, what do I got here to communicate with? And based on the severity level of the message, we're gonna go over this network or that network, and giving that power back to the Rails back office to control all of that is very critical to them. They also want to future-proof themselves because they've been through many cycles of 2G, 3G, 4G. This allows them to decouple software from hardware so they can pick the best hardware for the job, but also maintain software continuity between hardware vendors. That's one of the driving forces behind the movement in Rails.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, you were just discussing, I guess I'll step back and say some of the things that you just said reminded me of where we had been. And I remember when I met you, we were talking about IoT. And at that point in time, IoT platforms were big, and there were over 400 IoT platforms. And the focus seemed to be a lot on the connecting in terms of wireless and the ability to put a reasonably priced sensor on something and have it all speak, whatever platform you had, speak the right protocol so it could speak to anything. That was the emphasis then. So if we fast forward now to 2022, what have we learned from that experience in IoT that we could now say makes the edge computing environment different or better or what have you?
Boy, this is a great question. What have we learned, or what are we still learning? One, there are way too many platforms still out there. I don't know what the count is. I'll just tell you that there's too many. And this is going to sound really bad for my business, but I'm going to say it anyway. The word platform is horrible, and I think that we should be out of the platform business. It's the wrong way to be building these things. We can unpack that a little deeper later, but it differentiates absolutely nothing. So I really feel for any executive or technical professional making a decision on how to guide their company today on which of the, I don't know how many there are. There's probably still 300 or 400 out there. Which one do you choose? So I think what we've learned is what we're doing doesn't work. And I see it time and time and time again. And I'll tell you why I say this. It's because 99% of the technologies out there have basically built the same thing. And what we've done is we've used, and listen, this is not a knock on cloud vendors. They've created very excellent software to do lots of amazing things. But what companies are doing is piecing together various cloud vendors' components to create what my CTO recently described as a very interesting Frankenstein monster that is next to impossible to maintain. And I'll tell you what, they work good enough and they walk around. The problem is they work good enough for your first 1,000 devices or 10,000 or even 50,000. You get into the hundreds of thousands and it falls apart, or it's not cost effective to run things this way. And this is my frustration with the industry. There's a reason why IoT hasn't taken off as much as it should have by anyone who's predicted it. It's because we're doing it wrong. And Edge now is a valuable component of this strategy. And we can start to now optimize some of this. But I'm going to say something else controversial again. We're taking the same approach at the edge that we have with the platforms. We've got big Frankensteins, and now we're creating baby Frankensteins at the edge, which is why you see so much focus on what I call edge deployment. And so there's lots of companies out there that are building edge products, but what they really are is deploying containers at the edge to manage this all. I think we're making the same mistake down at the edge as we've seen in the platform layer. And this will all normalize out over time because the true value is in, to be honest, doing it the hard way and building what I call an IoT operating system or close to an operating system, something that sits on top of a package like Linux or a package like Windows that is consistent regardless of vertical. And then you customize from there. All right, I said a lot of words, probably too many, but edge is absolutely critical because to me, and one of the reasons that we focused on this very early is I've seen this movie before. And this movie started for me in 1991 when I worked at a big blue company with three letters. And we used things called mainframes. And we moved down to the PC. And it's basically load balancing of compute. And I had very smart people when I was younger and had more hair that would say to me, Eric, compute will always pendulum swing between centralized and distributed, regardless of era. And what have we done? We went from mainframe to PC. We went from PC to cloud in the 90s, right? And then we started coming back to the edge. So basically, we're balancing out. So this edge is just a natural evolution of processing, and we're now becoming more knowledgeable on how to use the internet. And there's greater demand for more responsive applications and use cases, and edge has to be here. It just has to. Now we just have to, over the next decade and a half or so, get better at both how we do IoT at the platform layer and how we do edge, and start to make that consistent as opposed to bespoke is a good way to put it.
I love what you said. And one of the things I think is so powerful about where we are now with edge computing is many times we start with what is the use case that we're trying to accomplish as opposed to what is the technology. And if you start at the use case, we've got a much better shot at actually having some business value.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what the Rails have taught me too, is companies like this or infrastructure like this, they don't want IoT science experiments. They don't want risk. They want a consistent software distribution that they can rely on. So think again, like Linux or like Windows, if you can package an IoT operating system that sits on top of Linux or Windows and is consistent and reliable, that's more than half the battle. That's 80, 90% of the battle. And then you customize from there for the use case, for the vertical, for the vendor, for the customer.
You're right. That's what they want. They want consistency. They don't want science experiments. So has that been some of the barriers to edge adoption that we're seeing right now, in your opinion? And if so, and maybe there's others that you want to share, what do you think companies need to do to sort of get over that hurdle?
Well, so definitely that's a barrier. And this is cross edge and platform. There's way too much building going on. There's a lot of money to be made in building things. And this is not a knock on the big system integrators either. It's just this is how we've evolved. But we have to get away from building the same version of the wheel. I'm oversimplifying, but basically we've got 400 wheels out there. And, you know, when maybe 12 or 15 will do, I don't know what the number is, but it's got to be smaller. And so, yes, that's the barrier. I think a lack of knowledge about what you need the edge for is still out there. And I think there needs to be better flexibility between edge and cloud and on-prem. So it's got to be seamless. I don't want to be building for edge. I don't want to be building for cloud or on-prem. I need to have software that knows how to load balance itself almost automatically. And in the future, it will be automatically. So I don't have to re-architect as technology changes, because what's going to happen over the next several, just like it always does, hardware and sensors are going to continue to evolve and become more capable. So the definition of where the edge lies, right, where that IP connection is going to move. So the software's got to move with it. We can't just keep building for the new stuff that becomes available. It's a real challenge, because you also have the confluence of two very, very different worlds. In OT, that has typically been a whole different path from IT, and getting these two groups to work together in the technologies is very complex. So It's going to take some time. I am seeing a lot of progress in a lot of areas, but even I get extremely confused trying to make sense or heads or tails or who goes in what category, right? So I sympathize with anyone else trying to make sense of this stuff.
Well, I guess nobody ever said it was easy, right? So if it were easy, I guess we wouldn't be employed. You know, I'm always hesitant in asking this question, but let's see if we can put on a future-looking ball cap for the moment. What do we think Edge will be like in the coming years? I'm not going to put a time frame on it, but just any touch points of maybe there's, you know, at this point I think we'll arrive here, and at that point I think we'll arrive there, or any concepts of future vision of what edge computing could be.
Despite some of my maybe negative sounding words around progress, I am seeing a lot of progress recently. And I really see, I love the fact that edge is a hot topic and a hot discussion point. And what I think we'll see, say that, I think it's a decade roughly. Edge is not going to be as much of a talking point or a term. It's going to be a capability that automatically happens. You're going to have companies that innovate on their solutions. And we're not going to be talking so much platform and edge and cloud and on-prem. It's going to be more seamlessly load balanced and flow, kind of like the way connectivity is today with the internet, right? We used to remember the days in the 2000s where we worry about what part of your house you could connect into and how much Wi-Fi you could get. We don't worry about that stuff anymore, right? You just kind of flow through your house or through wherever you're at, the airport, and you can connect to different networks. To me, Edge is going to go the same path, where deployment of Edge nodes with hardware, when they come online, will automatically get used by smart software that will detect, oh, I have an Edge I can use. Based on what I'm doing, it makes sense to run this piece of the application right down here. And we were not going to have what I affectionately call the nerds in the room. I am included in that statement. I'm a nerd. But you're not going to need us to do that. You're going to have business people that can dictate in a non-technical way how their application runs. That movement is already happening with some companies that are, you know, I used to not believe in no code. I'll say it out loud. I thought it was sacrilege having a computer science degree. But I now believe in it because I've worked with the other side of the world, the folks that are trying to just get the trains literally running on time, and they don't have a computer science degree, nor do they need one. So put the power in the hands of those people, and Edge should seamlessly be part of that dance. And we stop talking so much about it and just start using it.
That's a great answer. Well, I'm going to switch the conversation to a little bit of fun as we wrap up here. Please share a fun fact with the audience. Could be about anything. Just share a fun fact.
So since we're recording this a day before St. Patrick's Day, I found something that I never knew before, that the original color of St. Patrick's Day was not green. It was blue. In 1783, the Order of St. Patrick was about, like, it looked like a sky blue called St. Patrick's Blue. And the reason it's green is because of, in the late 18th to 20th century, the Ireland and the British Crown had their issues, right? And in defiance, they switched it to green, the color, one of the colors of the Irish flag. So there you have it. That's how we got to green.
Love that. That's so good.
As somebody that was born and raised in Boston, that's a great fun fact that I can truly appreciate. Thank you, Eric, so much for your time. Joe and I were thrilled to have you here today. And this concludes our podcast.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe so you can easily find us again. Follow us on Twitter at Maribel Lopez and at Digital Cloud Gal, and on LinkedIn. Links to our social profiles, show notes, and ways to listen to the podcast can be found at ElevateTheEdge.com.